Revelation chapter 18, finished at about verse 7 and 8 last Wednesday evening, so we'll pick up there in our study, but let's begin reading at verse 1 very quickly. I'd like to try to make it through this chapter tonight if I can. Chapter 18 and verse 1 in the New King James Version. After these things I saw an angel coming down from heaven having great authority, and the earth or the land was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of their earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Revelation 18 and verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the measure, meaning in the degree that, to the same degree, or as much as she glorified herself. She glorified herself, that is, she magnified herself, extolled herself, ascribed honor to herself. She lived luxuriously. Remember, we noted the meaning of that word back in verse 3, Revelation 18 in verse 3. The word has reference to sensuality, to wantonness. Remember, synonyms for the word are lasciviousness and licentiousness. So, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, that is, in wanton pleasure, in sensuality, that is because she was a harlot in her lewdness and lasciviousness. The word torment means severe pain, severe suffering, sorrow, grief, mourning, lamentation. Translated mourning, as a matter of fact, in the very next verse, in verse 8, Revelation 18, in verse 8. She said in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. I sit as queen. Consider this address to Babylon, where she portrays herself in the very same way. And so this Babylon here in Revelation 18, no doubt this comes from Isaiah 47 and verse 7 and following. And you say, I shall be a lady forever. Now this is the ancient city Babylon before it was destroyed. But this was the ancient city of Babylon's attitude and disposition. The same attitude and disposition that Jerusalem has here in Revelation 18 and verse 7. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. That is, she'll not see mourning. She'll not see sorrow from the loss of children. That is, from the destruction or death of her inhabitants. So I sit as a queen. Now at the time of the writing of Revelation, the city of Jerusalem did not see herself as divorced from God, although essentially the book of Revelation is a statement of God's divorce from his harlot wife. Like Hosea with his wife Gomer. He would never again take her to be his wife. Even in her wickedness, she would claim God was with her as she had in the days of old. Micah chapter 3 and in verse 11, her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. So before they were taken away into Babylonian captivity, Jerusalem thought, the Lord is among us, and no harm can come upon us. Same attitude, I sit as a queen, and am no widow. She was married to God. She didn't see herself as losing his fellowship, being divorced from him, and having sorrow because she would have no husband and no children because of destruction brought upon her. And so what was said of Babylon of old is said of this Babylon, which represents the city of Jerusalem. Revelation 18 in verse 8, therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Plagues, that is calamities, afflictions, deadly wounds, in one day, that is in a short time. We'll have a phrase later on, it says in 1 hour, and it's understood in the same way. In verse 10 of this chapter, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. 1 hour, 1 day is a short period of time. Revelation 18 in verse 17, same thing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Revelation 18 in verse 19, in 1 hour again. So it's a short period of time. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. That is, in a short period of time. Death and mourning and famine. Now, the Roman-Jewish wars lasted for some time, but the siege at the city of Jerusalem, and when it fell, 5 months. Didn't take very long at all for the city to be destroyed. They thought it was so fortified that it couldn't be destroyed. They thought God would never allow the city to be destroyed, but it was destroyed in a short period of time. Death, mourning, and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, utterly burned, that is, destroyed with fire. The Old Testament, of course, prescribes burning as the punishment for the priest's daughter who is a prostitute. And so here we have the harlot. Babylon the Great represents the city of Jerusalem. In Leviticus 21 and verse 9, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father. She shall be burned with fire. So Jerusalem is playing the harlot, she will be burned with fire. She'll be utterly destroyed. For strong or mighty is the Lord God who judges her. Strong, mighty, who judges, that is, who passes judgment upon her, who condemns her, who punishes her. Also back in Revelation 17 and verse 16, and the 10 horns which you saw, and the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Yes, she would be burned with fire. The temple would be set afire, and the city of Jerusalem would be burned. Revelation 18 in verse 19, or verse 9 through verse 10. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. So here, beginning in verse 9, and running through, you might say, the rest of the chapter, we're going to see a lot of things associated with simply the destruction of a city. It's metaphorical language, as we've seen throughout other places in the book of Revelation, that describes destruction that comes upon the city, even though it's going to describe the reaction of the kings of the earth, the merchants, the shipmasters, It's going to describe what they do, and it's going to describe a lot of merchandise, but we should not spend a lot of time trying to figure out, well, which city would be dealing in this merchandise, because any city during this particular period of time that was a wealthy and large city would deal in this kind of merchandise. Now, a large city today, if you listed merchandise of great wealth, you would list other things beside the things that are mentioned here. But these, of course, showed great wealth and prosperity. And so it's not the idea of which city belonged to this merchandise. Some people say, well, this section of text here has reference to the things that would be used in the temple at Jerusalem. Maybe so. And others would say, well, these things here were certainly true of ancient Rome. Maybe so. These things would be true of any city during this particular period of time. What I'm suggesting to you is, if we simply go back in the Old Testament and read where cities of great importance and great wealth were destroyed, we'll see the same kind of language. The same kind of language. Now, we don't have time. If we have time tonight, we'll read some from Ezekiel chapter 26 and 27 in regard to the destruction of the city of Tyre. And we'll see a lot of the same language that's used here. And if we have time, we could go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 50 through 51, where the destruction of ancient Babylon is described. As a matter of fact, we just read a few moments ago in chapter 18 and verse 4, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." That's stated in regard to the ancient city of Babylon in Jeremiah chapter 51. So there's a great deal in Jeremiah 50 through 51 that describes the destruction of the ancient city of Babylon, as well as in Ezekiel chapter 26 through 27 describing the destruction of the ancient city of Tyre and what the merchants would do, what the those who sailed on ships would do when the fall of the city took place. And so it's just that kind of language that we see in other places. So when the people of the first century would read this, they would recognize it as being the same kind of language that was used to describe the destruction of Babylon in ages past, as well as the destruction of the city of Tyre. So if we have time, we'll go and look at those. But let's look at the context here. Revelation 18 and verse 9, "The kings of the earth committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her." Remember, committed fornication. "They acted as the great harlot's lovers, with whom she committed spiritual harlotry and spiritual adultery." It's not physical fornication that's under consideration. "Luxuriously," again. New American Standard Bible says, "Live sensuously with her." American Standard Bible says, "Live wantonly with her." So, luxuriously, we're thinking of wealth and riches. Well, it has to do with that. But it really is connected with her spiritual harlotry, her spiritual adultery, her sensuality, her wantonness, her excess, even with the wealth that existed in the city of Jerusalem as well. So the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Her burning was mentioned in the previous verse. In the immediate context, she would be utterly destroyed with fire. "By the kings of the earth who committed fornication with their spiritual harlotry." Now, how did they do that? Remember, we've talked about this spiritual harlotry before, this spiritual adultery before. It's not the fact that apostate Israel was bowing down to idols in the first century. Some of them may have been. But it's all the things associated with paganism and idolatry that is under consideration here. All the treaties and all the, you might say, the wealth and the intermingling and the friendship with the pagan nations and the pagan people and the idolatrous people of the world. Remember, James says friendship with the world makes one an enemy of God. And he refers to them as adulterers and adulteresses. And so Israel, in the first century, the people of Israel had become friends with the world. And they were committing spiritual harlotry, spiritual adultery. If you're with us on Sunday morning in our study of the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and 19, in regard to Jesus being before Pontius Pilate, and the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, wanting Pontius Pilate to crucify him, you might say the unbelieving Jews got into the bed with Pontius Pilate, got into the bed with the Romans, the pagans. Here they are siding with pagan people, idol worshipers, to put the Son of God to death. That's part of spiritual adultery. And everything associated with the people of Israel, what would they do? Well, they would visit idols' temples. You know, Paul speaks of that in the book of Romans and the book of Corinthians. They saw nothing wrong with it, but they were committing spiritual harlotry, spiritual adultery. No doubt many of them, perhaps, done like some Christians today or in times past. You know, some Christians in times past, they had to be corrected when they decided to open a liquor store. They're committing spiritual harlotry, spiritual adultery. But Jews in the first century, they would do everything to be friends with the world. And if it meant doing things contrary to the will of God, then that's what they would do. They were unfaithful to God in all they did. So the kings of the earth here, who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Why? Because of what they're going to lose. What they're going to lose. Standing at a distance. That is, no help from those who at one time had joined her in her licentious behavior. They stand off at a distance. Literally standing there? No. The idea is they don't help. They don't provide her any help when time has come for her to be destroyed. For fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city of Babylon. Alas, alas." That's an interjection of grief and sorrow. As a matter of fact, out of the 41 times, or 41 other verses, it's translated, "Woe, woe, woe." So it's probably the way it should be translated here. Woe. We'll see it again in verse 16 and verse 19. But we see it translated woe in chapter 8, verse 13, chapter 9, verse 12, chapter 11, verse 14. So it's woe, woe. It's an interjection of grief and sorrow. Woe, woe, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, that great city Babylon. Again, this is Jerusalem. There can be no doubt it's the city of Jerusalem, that great city Babylon. Revelation 11 and verse 8, "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." It was spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, and it's spiritually called Babylon. Why? Because it is so much like ancient Babylon, even in its destruction. In Revelation 11 and verse 2, "But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, that they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. So the holy city, there's not but one city in the New Testament, or you might say the whole Bible called the holy city, and that is Jerusalem. Later on we'll see the New Jerusalem referred to as the holy city. But while earthly Jerusalem stood, it was referred to as a holy city. And it would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles." It wouldn't be a Gentile city that would be trampled underfoot. It would be a Jewish city. Revelation 14 and verse 8, "Another angel following, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Revelation 16 and verse 19, "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell." Now I don't know if I mentioned this when we looked at this verse or not. Revelation 16 and verse 19. Listen to that carefully again. "Now the great city was divided into three parts." Remember, Jerusalem, consisted of three walled areas. It was divided into three parts by three separate walls. Lower Jerusalem, Upper Jerusalem, and then the temple area. So now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The word translated nations there is translated Gentiles in other places. So the cities of the nations, the cities of the Gentiles fell. The implication is the great city is not a Gentile city. Did we not see that? I don't know if I mentioned that when we looked at that verse or not, but that's the implication of that. The great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations or the Gentiles fell. If the great city was Rome, it was a Gentile nation. It was a Gentile city. But there is the distinction there. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the Gentiles fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of her wrath. And so the city under consideration, Revelation 18 and verse 9, over which these kings of the earth wept and lamented, and said, woe, woe, that great city is the city of Jerusalem, identified as Babylon, that mighty city, meaning well fortified. In 1 hour, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. That is, in a short time, again in verse 17 as well as in verse 19. In 1 hour your judgment has come. That is, your condemnation has come, your punishment has come. Revelation 18, verse 11. Revelation 18 and verse 11. We'll read verse 11 through verse 16, because we'll not look at every word and every statement in these verses. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil and fine flour, and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, woe, woe, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. The merchants under consideration here were first mentioned back at the beginning of the chapter in verse 3. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury, her sensuality, her licentiousness. The merchants, of course, under consideration, are traders, one who trades with foreign countries by sea or by land on a large scale. They're wholesale dealers. They're actually distinguished from retail merchants in other places in the New Testament. So these are the merchants that are under consideration. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn. Why? Because they're wholesalers. They sell to the local merchants. They ship these things in by land and by sea. And they're going to mourn. Why? They're weeping and mourning, not for the fate of Babylon, but for themselves, because they've lost very good customers. They've lost many customers. Look at the wealth they're losing. In verse 13, it says, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Bodies. The idea is slaves. Unless somebody misunderstand, he says, and souls of men. You see that little word, and? Could have been easily translated, that is souls of men. As a matter of fact, if you're reading from the English Standard Version, that's the way it renders it. That is. Now, we saw that in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 here recently. Remember, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not obey the gospel, that is those who do not know God. They're the same group of people. And here the bodies and, that is, souls of men. So, slaves. So they deal in slavery as well.
Just simply refers to people, slaves. They're dealing in enslaved. They're carrying on slave trade. These merchants, they sell everything. They even sell people into slavery.
Note in verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. Longed for means lusted after. Well, what fruit did these merchants lust for or lust after? Well, the fruit, continue in the verse there, is all the things which are rich and splendid, that is magnificent and gorgeous. Note the little conjunction and again. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and that is all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more at all. That's right. They'll not be able to buy and sell and trade anymore in these things with these people because they're going to be destroyed when the city is destroyed. By her in verse 15 is from her. New American Standard Bible, English Standard Version, and other versions. That great city was clothed in verse 16 in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. We read that earlier in chapter 17 in verse 4. That great city was clothed. Chapter 17 in verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Now some see that she's dressed out and decked out in the attire of a priest. I don't see that. She's not pictured as a priest the way she's dressed. As a matter of fact, in the very next verse, she's referred to as a harlot or a prostitute, so she couldn't be decked out as a priest. She's decked out as a harlot or a prostitute. And we read in Jeremiah 4 and verse 30, where Jerusalem of old was described in exactly the same way. Jeremiah 4 and verse 30, and when you are plundered, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself with cinnamon, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. And is that not what is happening here? The ten kings and the beast, they seek her life. They took her life. Her lovers are going to turn on her, just as they did the ancient city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Revelation 18 and verse 17. Now all of these things that we read there in chapter 18, verse 11 through verse 16, as I said, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 26 and 27, you'll see a lot of things like that mentioned in the destruction of the city of Tyre. It's just things that people traded in back then. It was no different from one city to another. The wealthier the city was, and the more magnificent the city was, the more wealth it would trade in. And so it would be lost during the destruction. Revelation 18 and verse 17. Read through verse 19. Revelation 18 and verse 17. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, or woe, woe, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, and for in 1 hour she is made desolate. So at the beginning we have kings wailing and lamenting because of their loss. Then the merchants wailing and lamenting because of the loss. And now we have the shipmasters. Shipmasters, those who steer the vessels, those who bring goods from afar. In 1 hour, we've seen that, means a short period of time. Again, verse 10, verse 19, as well as back in chapter 17 and verse 12. In 1 hour, in a short period of time. So in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship would include
everybody who travels by ship. That is, those who would visit, tourists, and others who would come from afar to the city of Jerusalem during the feast periods, bringing wealth with them, bringing money to spend in the city. Then he mentions sailors, those who work in the shipping industry. And then he mentions as many as trade on the sea. As many as trade on the sea are fishermen. So the whole shipping industry is under consideration, you might say. They all cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning. Smoke of her burning, back in verse 8, back in verse 9, as well as 17 and verse 6. Yes. Yes, they're not crying over the people being killed in the city of Jerusalem and the city itself being destroyed. They're crying because of what they lose. They're selfish. They're selfish. Remember the fruit earlier in the previous context? The fruit that they wanted? They wanted the riches and the splendid and magnificent and gorgeous things. That fruit was lost. That fruit was gone. Yes, it was indeed a selfish mourning. And though it was a selfish mourning, they didn't lift a hand to help. And so the question is asked here, what is like this great city? Now I want you to look at this very carefully. What is like this great city? Verse 18. In the Greek, and there's no literal verb here. Is or was. It has to be added. Now it can be one or the other. The King James, the New King James, New American Standard Bible, they use the word is. What is like this great city? But most other versions use the word was. And that seems to fit the context better because the city has fallen. The city is being destroyed. So what was like this great city? That's the point, I believe, that is being made. But either is or was is fine with the translation. But I think for the context, because he's being destroyed, what was like this great city? Well, there was no other city like it. It says they threw dust on their heads in verse 19. Just like those who wailed over the destruction of the city of Tyre. Ezekiel 27 and verse 30. And they will make their voice heard because of you. They will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. They will roll about in ashes. So we see the same picture. The merchants and those who wailed and lamented over the loss of the city of Tyre, it's the same kind of language. They're just wailing, lamenting a selfishness, as we have described already, over what they have lost. And the throwing of the dust on their head and rolling about in ashes, that was a sign of grief and lamenting. Alas, alas, again, woe, woe, verse 10 and verse 16. 1 hour again, verse 19, meaning a short time. We saw it again in verse 10 and chapter 17 and verse 12. Make desolate, the end of verse 19, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. In 1 hour, in a short period of time, she is made desolate. Now that ought to remind us. Revelation 17 and verse 6. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, remember the ten horns are ten kings, and the beast, that is the Roman Empire, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Make her desolate. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 14 when he said, and when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And in Luke 21 and verse 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. That city was going to be laid desolate. Destroyed, utterly ruined, depopulated. That's what the word means. That's the city that is under consideration. Just ask yourself, how could Jesus prophesy that that's what was going to happen to the city of Jerusalem, but we'll go through the rest of the New Testament and we never see it happen? Well, we're seeing it happen in the book of Revelation. We're seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy of Jesus. That's what we're seeing. If not, then there is no scripture to ever prove that it happened. But because it was written in a book of prophecy, referred to as Revelation, then we know that it was fulfilled. Just as God spoke, it came to pass. Revelation 18 in verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Now most versions read, instead of holy apostles and prophets, most versions read saints and apostles and prophets. English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, American Standard Version, New International Version, Christian Standard Bible, and many others. So you have saints, apostles, and prophets. So rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, saints, apostles, and prophets. For God has avenged, that is, He's taken vengeance on her for the judgment she imposed upon you. So God has responded to the cry of the saints and the prophets. Remember the cry that went up to God, Revelation 6 and in verse 9, when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, that is, upon the land? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. So you have Old Testament saints underneath the altar crying out. But God says, hold on, Old Testament saints and prophets, because there's New Testament saints, prophets and apostles who will also be added to your number. Revelation 16 in verse 6, For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Revelation 11 and verse 18 as well. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that is those whom we read about underneath the altar, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, that is avenged, and that you reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and destroy those who destroy the earth, that is the land. Revelation 18 in verse 21. Revelation 18 in verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. These things are not going to be heard in the city because the city is going to be destroyed. That's just how simple it is. And we have the same kind of language, Jeremiah 51 and verse 63. Now I want you to get this, what I'm going to read here. Jeremiah was told to depict this. He is prophesying regarding the destruction of the ancient city of Babylon. And he is depicting the destruction of the ancient city of Babylon. Note how he does it. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it, note this, and throw it into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, Thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Jeremiah scrolled that foretells disaster against Babylon. He tied a stone and threw it into the Euphrates with the pronouncement, so will Babylon sink never to rise again. So here the city Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon has been thrown down. So just as Jeremiah depicted the destruction of ancient Babylon by tying the prophecy, that is the scroll of prophecy, to a boulder or stone and throwing it into the Euphrates River, we have the same picture here of Jerusalem like a great stone or boulder being thrown into the sea. Jeremiah 7 in verse 32. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophat, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they were buried in Tophat until there is no room. The corpse of this people will be food for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Same kind of language. It just simply describes judgment that is coming upon a city, and these things will not be heard. Why? Because it's going to be utterly destroyed. Now, I wanted to get through with the chapter. One more verse. Bear with me. Revelation 18 and verse 24. Revelation 18 and verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth or upon the land. Now in her, in Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the city of Jerusalem, in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who were slain on the earth. Where have you heard that before? Well, you heard Jesus say it in Matthew 23 and in verse 34. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. We could read the same thing in Luke's account, Luke 11, verse 49 through 51. So Jesus said almost the exact same thing that's recorded here in Revelation 18 and verse 24. In her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. How many Old Testament prophets and how many Old Testament saints did Rome kill? Can anybody give me a number? No, you didn't hear my question. How many Old Testament prophets and Old Testament saints did Rome kill? Rome didn't kill Old Testament saints and Old Testament prophets. Rome killed New Testament saints, apostles and prophets. But Jerusalem, remember what Jesus said? That on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, that is upon the land. Now if all the righteous blood that was shed was going to be avenged upon the city of Jerusalem, was there any righteous blood to be avenged anywhere else? No. It was all going to be avenged on the city of Jerusalem. Now that don't mean that Rome didn't kill some of God's people. Rome did. But we should let the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. And Revelation 18 verse 24 is almost the exact same words of Jesus. It's hard to deny that that's not Jerusalem under consideration. We're out of time. We'll have to pick up at Revelation chapter 19 next Wednesday evening. Questions or comments? Thank you very much for your kind attention.